Hi, welcome to the Virtue Podcast. My name is Shelley Hurley, and I am here today to talk to you about a life-changing, soul-winning ministry and occupation that we can all take part in. It's called prayer. And today, as we just scratch the surface, our title today is Persistent Prayer. How many of you out there saw the movie The War Room when it came out? It's about a woman and her husband who were crumbling beneath the stresses of everyday life. They were falling apart and drifting apart until she was taught in the school of prayer. And instead of fighting her battles in the flesh, she began fighting on her knees. Not only did God move in miraculous ways, but she was changed from the inside out. Prayer not only changes circumstances, prayer changes us. James 5:16 says, "The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results." But so often we think, well, I prayed, God, why haven't you answered me yet? And it's been all of, what, 3 seconds? And in this day, in this age of demanding instant results, we give up and we stop praying. Don't bail. Prevail. I can't even begin to tell you all of the blessings, joys, and rewards that are yours if you choose to enlist and persist in this most marvelous, mountain-moving, mysterious, and miraculous engagement of prayer. Do you feel as though the battle is raging around you and your troubles are swallowing you up? Are you being harassed by the enemy with thoughts of failure, discouragement, and defeat? Are you ready to give up the fight, maybe in your marriage or your friendships or your ministry? And maybe there are those around you who seem to be in the enemy's grip and just locked in chains. Well, we read in Isaiah 36 and 37 the story of King Hezekiah, who was being severely harassed by the evil king Sennacherib of Assyria, who was taunting, harassing, and posing serious threats to him. He was trying to lay siege upon Jerusalem. What did the king do? Well, he took it all to the Lord, and he came with a simple, praise-filled prayer. When Hezekiah heard of the threats posed by Sennacherib, he tore his robes and covered himself in sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. He also sent men to Isaiah the prophet to have him pray. And what did Isaiah do? He went to battle on his knees. Prayer is not preparation for the battle. Prayer is the battle. And through praise, our enemy is defeated. Isaiah 37:14, we read again that Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and took that letter that he had received of these threats. And what did he do? He spread it before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed, "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Bow down your ear," we read in 2 Kings 19:16. Bow down your ear. Isn't that amazing that God listens and he stoops and he bows down his ear when we pray? "Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God." Hezekiah spread it before the Lord. He laid it all out. He poured out his heart to the Lord. Do you think when he was praising the Lord, do you think he was reminding the Lord of who he is, or perhaps reminding himself of who the Lord is? So often prayer changes us. It changes our focus and it changes our perspective. This was not the gods with the little g of the nations he was praying to. When we exalt God's name and we see him for who he is, our whole perspective changes. We realize there is nothing that is too hard for our God. That word prayer is the translation of a Greek word which speaks of prayer that is addressed to God as an act of worship, adoration, and devotion. Billy Graham says that the greatest form of prayer is praise to God. Before we give God our grocery list of prayers, we need to see him for who he really is. He loves me with an everlasting love. His plans for me are for good, not for evil. He's big enough to handle anything that comes my way and your way. His hand spans the universe, we read, and he holds me in the palm of that hand. He is almighty, all-powerful. There is nothing too hard for him. Jeremiah 32:17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." The battle was won because of a simple prayer by a desperate king. Our prayers cannot be simple enough for the Lord. If we just say, "Help," he hears us. James 5:16, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous woman avails much." Desperate times, desperate prayers. You know, they did not even need to engage in that battle. The weapon that they used was prayer, and God fought that battle for them. The Lord wants us to go to him and just spread it all out before him. He wants us to petition him in prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. There's nothing too big or too small." Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Don't be a worrier. Be a warrior. As a wife, mother, grandmother, there's always something to worry about, right? Will my child be born healthy, or will they have a disease? Are they eating enough? Are your toddlers falling down and bumping their heads? You worry about kidnappers, strangers, whether they will hurt themselves on the playground or in sports. Will they choose the right friends? Will they be okay when they take off in the car for the first time? Will they choose to walk with the Lord? Will my child rebel? Or if they have rebelled, you fear that they will never return. Will they resist temptation, drugs, sex? Will they choose the right partner? Give them your hurts, your fears, your failures, your doubts, your worries. But as Hezekiah did, look at how big our God is. When you begin with praise, you will pray a prayer of faith because you will see that there's nothing that he can't handle. Big problem, big prayer, bigger God. Prayer is talking with God. It's a dialogue, right? Two persons, not just a monologue. So often we just treat it like a monologue. We need to have time during prayer to just be still and wait on God and listen for his voice. As we read the word, isn't it prayer as well? Before we read, we need to ask the Lord to open up our hearts to receive his word and ask him to speak to us. It's the other half of prayer, isn't it? The listening part. So much of what we're asking God for is already found in his word. It's so important to know his character and to know the one that you're praying for. I love what we read in Psalm 46:5. "God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn." God shall help me at the break of dawn. Oh, that sweet hour of prayer. Ari Torre says, "The reason why so many fail in battle is because they wait until the hour of battle. The reason why others succeed is because they have gained their victory on their knees long before the battle came." Oswald Chambers says, "If in the first waking moment of the day you learn to fling the door back and let God in, every public thing will be stamped with the presence of God." I want that, don't you? You know, I love that verse, "God shall help her just at the break of dawn." If I want to remain still, no matter what enemies may come my way during the day, I need to give the Lord those first fruits of the morning. When I go to the Lord, especially in the morning in prayer, I gain his strength and I see my enemies defeated. As the Lord wields his sword of truth against those enemies of doubt, depression, fear, anxiety, anger, I rise victorious in the battle, and I take on his likeness as I behold him through his word. Before each day, before any ministry opportunity, any new venture, any new decision, prayer needs to come first. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." He says, "Call to me, and I will answer." Before reaching for Siri, we need to call on Jesus. Because of the cross, that veil between heaven's throne and our prayers has been torn in two, and we can now come boldly to that throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. God is our ever-present help in time of trouble. He is very present, fully there, fully present. He isn't Instagramming other more interesting people while he's there with you. He's fully engaged and says, "Draw near to me and I will draw near to you." He never leaves me or takes his eyes off of me, even for a second. He never says, "Oops, sorry about that. I wasn't listening," or I looked the other way. Can you please repeat that?" No. He is our well-proved help. When we dial 911, he answers every time. There's no recording at the end of the line. All lines are open to heaven 24 hours a day. And thank God you can't call him too often. You only need to ring once and God hears you. Because of Jesus, you never get a busy signal. God takes each call and knows each caller personally. When you call and the Lord will answer, you will cry for help and he will say, "Here I am." You know, 1 John 5:14 says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. Whatever we ask, we know we will have the petitions that we have asked of him. When we're in sorrow, we need to call John 14. When man fail you, you can call Psalm 27. If you want to be fruitful, call John 15. When you've sinned, call Psalm 51. When you worry, call Matthew 6:19-34. When you're in danger, call Psalm 91. When God seems far away, call Psalm 139. When your faith needs stirring, call Hebrews 11. When you're lonely and fearful, call Psalm 23. When you grow bitter and critical, call 1 Corinthians 13. For Paul's secret to happiness, call Colossians 3:12-17. And on, we find the answers to so many of the things that we need through God's word. And next, we need to partner in prayer. Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20 says, "Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." You know, the Christian life is a warfare. Until we see him face to face, we're going to be at war. How do we fight in this warfare? 1 Corinthians 10:3-4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." And then Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, we read much about warfare. In verses 18 and 19, he says that we are to praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praying always. We are to leave that phone line off the hook and constantly be in communion with God. All prayer, all kinds of prayer. We are to come to him with adoration, with praise, with confession, with thanksgiving, with supplications, and in the Spirit. So often we don't even know how to pray, but it says in Romans that the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings which cannot even be uttered. And we can just say, "Ugh," and the Holy Spirit prays for us. Think about Jehoshaphat in the battle when he said, "Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." When we don't know what to do, just turn your eyes to the Lord and just say, "Ugh." The Holy Spirit will interpret those prayers and pray for you in God's will. Sometimes we don't even know what to ask for, but God does. And Paul said again to pray for him that an open door would be available for the gospel. Isn't that what we need? We want that word of God to go forth, and we need to be praying for those that are sharing that gospel. We need to be praying for our pastor, for Pastor Greg, as he shares that gospel. We can be like Moses, Aaron, and Hur on top of the hill as he battles in the valley, bringing that word of God. Oh, let's be ones that lift up each other in the battle. We are not alone. Moses had his Aaron and his Hur to come alongside to hold his weary arms up. And we look at that Roman shield when the Romans went to war. That shield was a 4-foot by 2-foot shield to cover the body. And it was made with little links on the side to link together so that they could stand together as an entire line of men. They could link their shields of faith together and that they could stand against the enemy. Oh, we need to link our shields of faith together. We need our brothers and sisters to hold our arms up and to link our shields together. You know, one morning I was given a message to a group of women on Moses and Aaron and Hur. And as I was leaving the house, I looked out the window of my house, which we're on the beach, and I watched as this beach dredging vessel that had been there for quite some time, he had tried with all of his might, yet he couldn't get free from the rut that it had made. All of its best efforts were futile, and the motors would have burned out. And so I looked out my window just as I was leaving, and I saw two tugboats, one on one side, one on the other. They tied a rope to this big ship, and the two of them, these two little tiny vessels, they pulled that big boat to safety out to deeper waters. That's what we do for each other. We pull one another to the safer, deeper waters. Could I tell you how grateful I am for those over the years who have come alongside me in prayer, lifting my weary arms, building up my faith as we link those shields together through prayer, and as we stand on and claim God's promises, and how privileged I've been to pray with and for others when they are battle-weary. The greatest friendships I have are those where we have had prayer as our strong bond. And as we share our various burdens, we don't get defeated, but rather we join together and come boldly before the throne of God in faith-filled prayer. You know, quite some time ago, my youngest son was a prodigal, and he took us through a 7-year spiral downward all the way to hell's door. But all the while, God was there. Out of fear for his consequences, I tried to have control, which was just a joke. All control was completely ripped out from my hands. And so I joined with other mothers of prodigals to pray. My prayers were reduced from which college, Lord, should he go to, Lord, I just pray he just finishes high school. And then after he dropped out, and signed up for special tutoring classes, I pray, Lord, just get him through those. And then when he quit those, I prayed, Lord, I just pray that someday he'll get his GED right. And then I prayed as he wandered through the streets where I didn't know where he was. I said, I just prayed, Lord, keep him safe. And then I prayed, Lord, just keep him alive. And then finally, I prayed, Lord, if you have to take his life, then just save his soul. I had to release him to God. And even though I couldn't see in the darkness, God, El Roy, who sees everything, he saw him. And he had his ever watchful eye upon him as he wandered the streets. No job, no money, no car, no nothing. And yet God saw him. Does letting go, letting them go, mean that we do nothing and let the chips fall where they may? No way. We fight for what we love, but we don't fight like the world fights, and we don't fight alone. Even though we're releasing them and letting them go, it doesn't mean that we are giving up the fight for their souls. Quite the opposite. Now the battle begins. When your loved one is in enemy territory, it's time to draw up the battle plans and wage war against the enemy. We have to realize who we're at war with. It may feel like you're at war with your prodigal, but in reality, you are at war with the forces that want to draw them away from the Lord. Ephesians 6:12 says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. How do we fight in this battle? We fight with these spiritual weapons. Instead of just worrying or being a worrier, we need to be that warrior. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We need to pray with persistence. We need to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Never give up. Over the years, I have seen God move powerfully through persistent prayer, but coupled with fasting. Isaiah 58:6 says, is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you might break every yoke? Through prayer, strongholds are broken, chains fall, and doors are opened. When you couple that with fasting, I can't tell you so often that day, sometimes we'd choose one day out of the week, for years actually, I would choose one day out of the week to make that a day where we would fast and pray, and just for our families, maybe even for church, for our loved ones. And we would pray, and so often it would be that day that the Lord would send special encouragements along the way to let us know that he hears those prayers. God is able to break those yokes. We need to pray with patience. John Newton's mother raised him in the ways of the Lord, teaching him to love the Lord and his word and committing much of it to memory as a youth. John's mother felt he should be a minister and began to train him even at this young age. She died when he was just 7 years old. He ended up denouncing God, leading a horribly reprobate life, and becoming a slave trader on a ship. Then one day, a horrible Jonah-like storm came, and the Lord used that to turn his heart back to him. He became an Anglican minister. We know him most for his hymn, Amazing Grace. He died at the age of 82. One of the last things that he remembered for saying before he died was, "My memory is nearly gone, but I remember two things, that I am a great sinner and that Christ is a great Savior." Those mother's prayers were heard, even though she didn't live to see the fulfillment of them. And we need to pray those promises. Focus on the promises, not the problem. Lord, you promised. If they are yours, then the enemy cannot snatch them out of your hand, John 10:28. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when they are old, they shall not depart from it." He is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. That work that he started, he will complete. Pray for those strongholds to be broken and that the Lord would set the captives free. And Lord, just as the church fasted and prayed for Peter when he was chained and imprisoned, will you loose the chains and set the captives free? Pray for their eyes, that their eyes would be opened and that they would be turned from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, Acts 26:18. You know, I pray that the Lord would unmask the lies of the enemy and that they would see the death and destruction that really are the result of this awful freedom that they have chosen. I pray that they would see that the waters they are drinking to try and satisfy their thirst are broken cisterns that can hold no water. In Luke 15:16, we read of the prodigal, and he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. We need to pray that even the slop that the pigs have to offer won't satisfy, so that they see the emptiness in the world and hunger for their father's house. Oh, in Luke 15:17 through 19, we see that that prodigal came to his senses and he sees his sin. He prays, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." We can pray that that prodigal will come to their senses and see their sin and confess it before the Lord. Jeremiah 24:7 says, "I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I shall be their God, and they shall return to me with their whole heart." Oh, how many of you have prodigals out there? Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers. It doesn't have to be just your children. Many of us have prodigals in our life. We need to continue and persevere in prayer for them. You know, after enlisting prayer warriors and when things were at their absolute worst, I heard a message by Pastor Greg. A sow returns to wallowing in the mire. A dog returns to his vomit, but a prodigal always returns home. 3 weeks later, my son came knocking on the door early in the morning, and he said, "I want to come home. I want to be normal again, and I want to be your son again." The prodigal returned. You know, I love that song. "And when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Every fear I lay at your feet. I'll sing through the night. Oh God, that battle belongs to you." We need to continue to pray passionately for our husbands, our children, our grandchildren. Who is going to pray for your family with more passion than you are? You know, a couple Christmases ago, our small group of friends exchanged our impossible prayer requests with each other. Through those prayers, we have seen God do the impossible. Lives have been changed, chains broken hearts mended. I am the recipient, through that, of seeing a more than 40-year-old prayer answered. So as a wife of many years, mother-in-law, and a grandmother of 11, I am reaping the benefits of answered prayer. I can say that all my family knows the Lord and are walking with Him. But I continue to pray, and I pray that the Lord helps me to pray with more persistence, more passion, more patience, with a heart filled with praise and trusting in His promises. Jesus is our great intercessor who ever lives to make intercession for us, and His arms never grow tired. He is praying for you. Are you battle-worn and weary in this world? Remember, you are not alone. don't stop fighting till the battle is won.